Good morning. Today is Friday, May the 6th, 136th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you relaxing yet?
It's been a week full of a lot of challenges, but I was thinking yesterday, boy, we did that removal last week. Then I got think, no, that was just Monday and Tuesday. That wasn't the week before.
Oh, my. Guess what we'll be talking about? A little bit of that. Our quote this morning comes from Benjamin Whitchurch, 1753. This is a good one. None are known to be good until they have the opportunity to be bad. Thinking with the drug bust that happened yesterday, the heroin in Southern Humboldt, when the sheriff was here, of course, we don't say everything that goes on during the show. He's sharing pictures. $500,000 in cash. He had pictures of it. He was like, holy cow, that, wow, man. I mean, you know, for a Eureka kid, wow.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and they were stacked. The funny thing is that they were stacked sideways. You know how the pile normally is wide, but the one picture taken, it was on its side. And they were all hundreds. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it was about five, six inches thick. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Holy cow. That'd be traveling money for a lot of us. So let's go back to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly well noticed by one and all what was going to be happening. What was Monday like?
You know, we started planning for this probably about 6 weeks in advance of Monday, with initially weekly meetings of our management team and really kind of thinking of what we need to do on our end to prepare for that day, and such things as bringing in Cal North to videotape police interactions with people being removed, and so things down to that kind of detail. And then on the several days before the operation, of really going over the police operations plan and really understand, so how the police department, how they're going to send their teams in, where the support was coming then and from Public Works, Park and Rec, Humboldt County Sheriff's Department, City Ambulance, just kind of
standby really, kinds of things.
Right. And, because somewhat anticipating that we'd be making arrests on Monday, that there'd be people who would simply refuse to leave, even though they'd been given notice. Some maybe not believing it until we're actually there doing it. But what we found, I know when Chief Mills and I were back in there on Sunday, he thought it was down to about 80 campers.
Well, so half had already moved on.
As you know, I think it was probably a month ago, we were at around 180. It had kept dropping each week to where we were down to about 113 in the previous week. And by Monday morning, people were streaming out of there. By the time we came in, it was down to 25, 30 who were
still
in the process. So the
magnitude was a lot less.
It was. So, they didn't have to make any arrests. It was a matter of going through each individual camp and making contact.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, so the action or the operation or the event, depending on what word you like to use, took place on Monday pretty much without much confrontation.
That's right.
So at one end, you start working.
Mm-hmm.
What about the repercussions and the ripples through the community of where those 80 or 113 or 187 decided to relocate? Where have you seen them? I know you don't have tracking devices on them, but where... what are the options? What have you heard this week? Where those folks have gone?
Well, that was sort of the key question when City Council established the May 2nd date. And certainly one of the things, by establishing that date, that really pushed some innovative ideas, such as the Mercer Fraser property, the collaboration between the Humboldt, you know, property rights group with Betty Chin Foundation, which, as a lot of people come, was seemed to be a very unlikely type alliance, but it came up with a very innovative solution in terms of remodeled containers that can house 40 people, and so the
quick offshoot.
Yeah,
who's covering the insurance on that? We've not been able to find it from anybody.
It's that they've created an LLC and purchased insurance.
Who they?
What was called the GCOP Collaboratives, which was Humboldt CPR and Betty Chin Foundation. They created a LLC.
So the two of those.
Yeah. So they.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was part of the operating agreement with the city. You know, we brought that property in under the shelter crisis declaration. So we had to do a lease with Mercer Fraser to create a nexus, and then they had to, the collaborative had to acquire insurance so that there's a sense $2 million, you know, insurance policy.
Could it have been handled any worse in the lack of notification of the neighbors?
You know, they, that Tuesday before the council meeting, they met with the businesses there, and they did a lot of apologizing, but they certainly kind of got pounded on and said, yes, we should have done better, we could have done better, and that came out at the council meeting that night as well. What we've heard from certainly some of the businesses since then is, it hasn't been as bad as what they had feared. I think from the business standpoint, they were saying, gee, we've got this big of a problem now. If this goes in, it just makes it bigger and worse. And I think from our staff standpoint, we thought with a 24/7 managed facility in there, it was not going to make the situation worse.
Was moving the situation from one neighborhood to another.
And certainly the thing always is, and you understand this from whether you're a business owner or a resident, the concern is, yeah, I don't want it here. You know, yes, I understand there needs to be something, but I want it somewhere else. And I think that's always the challenge when we're dealing with these kind of operations.
So some, you said 40.
So that's 40.
Came to this location.
Right.
Now, is that individuals or 40?
That was 40
individuals.
That was 40 individuals. They can take 40 people there. So, the other thing that was done, we worked with the Rescue Mission St. Vincent de Paul to have 2 months of shelter beds available at St. Vincent de Paul. So far, they've not had to open those at night. They're working with the Rescue Mission. There have been plenty of bed space availability, but if they start filling up, then St. Vincent de Paul will open up for about another 30-35 beds overnight.
Say that again. There's excess?
There's excess beds available at the Rescue Mission.
So the folks that were displaced are not taking advantage of.
And that, we thought that may very well be the case. You know, maybe if it was wet season, maybe more would, but and one of the reasons some will say is, well, because we can't take our dog with us, we don't have a place to store our belongings, or at least the big amount of belongings. So you get the shelter space availability. Then we also set up, and believe me, we don't consider this a good option, but our city-owned parking lot at Washington and Coster to allow overnight tent camp. In other, you can put your tent up at 8 p.m. and has to be down by 7 a.m.
Isn't that where the welfare department is?
Yes, right. The welfare department, they have their own parking lot.
What could be more apropos?
Well, and we set that up as a two-month option. That opened up April 11th.
Angie and I have gone by and seen some folks.
Yeah, and that's where
that are there.
Betty Chin has done her,
that's her
food program over the years, and I thought that might be really bad the first couple of days. It hasn't been as bad as many people in there, but It's not a good option.
I did see Schmidbauer having to repair his fence.
We need some better options on that. We're starting to think about some plan B when the June 11th date comes up.
Now, in theory, this is all temporary.
You've got
everything talked about other than the rescue mission.
Right, the Betty Chin Collaborative, that's a 6 month. But the nice thing about that, it isn't just, well, you can move in there for 6 months and then you get kicked out at the end of that, and so then where do you go? Betty has them on a 90-day plan of trying to get them into more permanent housing, get them into jobs, and so that this isn't meant to just be a six-month solution. It's meant to be get people in, but work with them to get them into something else, or reunite them with their families. That's always an option as well.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, City Manager of Eureka. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Greg, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the impact and and the spread and the push, and you got 40 in the container camp. Okay. You've got opportunity for some to be at the rescue mission. Now, is that in the new building that's being constructed?
No, that's just in their current facility. Additional. And then, like I say, then the shelter beds created for 2 months at St. Vincent. And like I said, then we talked about the overflow area with the city-owned parking lot at Washington and Coster. So, right, then the concern is, right, do camps try to get reestablished under Samoa Bridge, or
under the Slough Bridge.
Yeah, under these kind of locations. And we're really trying to maintain a zero tolerance for illegal camping. Our illegal camping ordinance has previously withstood court challenge. And
isn't it sad that you have to say that?
Yes.
It's already gone through and been challenged by somebody.
Right. That happened last year. And but, you know, certainly ACLU filed a temporary restraining order against the city that went to a hearing in Oakland last week. And they had 11 plaintiffs. And the court basically said, you know, for those 11 plaintiffs, we need to, in a sense, as the city, ensure that they had a place to go. And believe me, I don't like calling it Betty's Container Village. We really need a better name for this. But anyway, the Mercer Fraser property, however you want to call it. So that was certainly a viable alternative. The shelter space, they didn't consider the parking lot to necessarily be appropriate for those 11. So that's a concern going forward.
But there's boarding available.
Yes.
At either St. Vinny's or at the rescue mission that aren't being occupied.
That's
these
right.
Guys could be in. So basically, you guys spun your wheels, spent some extra money because somebody said that they didn't like what was going on.
That's certainly part of it, and we've looked at certainly other court decisions over the years. I mean, that's the strategy we've been following for the last 6-7 months was, in a sense, trying to create a low enforcement zone. Not that there wasn't no enforcement, but when you've got campers behind Humboldt County Office of Education and all these other different locations, we tried to more hit those kinds of areas and saying, okay, here's one area that at least in the short term, you know, we aren't going to enforce as heavily. So trying to trying to get more into one location, easier to enforce, and then work on shrinking that. And that's been, in a sense, kind of the policy for the last 6 months, is trying to shrink that footprint.
So if you have got excess capacity now, and these folks, are they still in the area? Have they left the area?
You know, most of those 11 are housed with Betty Chen.
Okay, of the 80 whatever.
And of the others, right, they're most of the 40 that are there at the Mercer Fraser came out. They were part of that 115 or so that were still back there camping.
So even though I went through public education, I'm thinking there's about 75 still that are
somewhere. So of those 75, some are at the Washington Koster lot, and some we think have left the area, but some have probably have gone to over to Samoa, McKay Track.
In the neighborhood,
we've heard Humboldt Hill area. Certainly other gulches and greenways. So.
Was there a lot of communication between the city and the county as this was starting to process? Because I know the county started looking at something Tuesday. Well, Tuesday in the rearview mirror. It seems like really poor timing that you would think that if there had been contact and communication, that most, if not all, of the council members in Eureka wouldn't be happy if these folks located on the other side of Harrison Avenue, the other side of Harris, you know, just on still impacting the community to the same extent, still causing the same challenges, but legally just outside the city limits so that EPD wouldn't be able to get to them or anybody else.
No, I think there was good communication both with Board of Supervisors, certainly knew what we were doing, Sheriff's Department, DHHS, and DHHS had concerns about it. I mean, I think one thing we heard from social workers were, when you had 180 back there, we knew where they were, and this was a stable environment for us to deliver service. I think from my standpoint, an environment with no water, sewer, trash, electricity, that doesn't meet my definition of a good environment to have people. So I think we've provided some things that have come forward as better options. Certainly the remodeled containers, that's a better option. Shelter space is a better option. And
When will you know that this worked? What does success look like?
You know, we've treated that this is just part of the puzzle. We've talked quite a bit on this show as well about the focus strategies, housing first model, and what the city and county have been doing, working together to implement concepts from those studies. And certainly the revamped multiple assistance center from last summer, that has been a successful model. It's just, I think we all get impatient that we want to solve the problem today. We don't want it to take 5 years. So we've got longer-term solutions that are being worked on that are getting people into housing, in some cases reuniting people with families outside the area. Certainly that's a component of it. And then these shorter-term solutions, because leaving people in a wetlands with hypodermic needles on the ground, again, the amount of waste, the environmental damage being done there, that was not we felt we had more liability leaving that in place than what we have with ACLU representing homeless people.
Lesser of two evils?
Yes.
Well, and the fear, obviously, is that it would become like a South Spit.
You know, that
it becomes entrenched, and then it becomes a magnet, or like Clam Beach was after that, and then I guess this is the third of the three. Just becoming, getting to the point where it's in, if it's out of sight, it's not out of, no, if it's out of mind, it's not out of sight. And it just takes on its own life.
Yeah, and that certainly was the case there.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. Great timing. Yeah, it's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, one of the things that I heard during the setup was suddenly, the speed of government became the speed of private sector. How could that be? And two initial comments I had was, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, still dealing with the speed also. But two, if it can occur for this, why can't it occur for any project?
You know, if you're talking about particularly, say, how quick it moved on the collaborative with Betty Chin and the Humboldt.
Whether it's 6 months or 6 weeks or 4 months, it went through really quickly, and I think everybody's aware there was a financial risk for the city because of some of the waterfront drive monies and also the court thing. But nonetheless, it's demonstrated now that a project can go from A to B really quickly versus the prolonged thing that we experience most times.
Well, and particularly, I think, because they had an early money commitment from some in the private sector. And I think that's where some of these have failed in the past, is that there hasn't been any, you know, like private money. And it's just been, you know, gee, government, give us some money to do this. In this case, I mean, they made a choice to order the containers before they necessarily had all their dollars lined up and agreements in place. And I'll tell you,
this could be the theme of next Wednesday's with the Soups. Can I go out and spend about $150,000 and then come to you and ask you guys to cover it for me? It's an interesting procurement process.
Right. Because I can tell you, we got those two agreements done on Saturday. And I know that's how I was spending half of my day Saturday after, in between the roadie parade and dealing with some of that. So, you know, I think one of the comments I heard from someone at the council meeting was, well, gee, the city and county had to be talked into this collaborative. No, we heard it and said, you know, this is exactly what we were looking for.
Well, congratulations so far. Hopefully next month it'll be all roses, too.
I'll be very interested in how this next 30 days goes, and we're going to work to make it as good as it can be.
See you Monday.